How many of you have been with us on past Thanksgivings? Can I see that hand raise? Okay. It's a nice place to be the night before Thanksgiving. So what I do most years is on this evening is talk about gratitude and generosity. In the Buddhist tradition, there's something called the paramitas, which are the perfections of the heart, and the experience of gratitude and generosity are considered the very first. And so I'll be talking about that. But I thought maybe I'd start with a brief reading. Live this day. Do not let this day slip through your fingers. Do not let this day slip through your fingers, but live it fully now, this breath, this glimpse of the newly risen sun or the music of the rain that catapults you into full awareness. Time is precious. Minutes disappearing like water into sand unless you choose to pay attention. Live this day. Live these moments. Since you don't know the number of your days, treat each as if it's your last. Be that compassionate with yourself, that open and loving to others, that determined to give what is yours to give, and to let in the energy and wonder of this world. Live this day. Experience everything, writing, relating, eating, doing all the necessary little tasks of life, as if for the first time, pushing nothing aside as unimportant. Live this day. You've received these same reminders many times before. This time, take them into your soul, for if you choose to live this way, you will be rich beyond measure, grateful beyond words, and the day of your death will arrive with no regrets. Live this day. So this is an invitation very much in the spirit of one of the great Indian teachers, Munindraji, who when asked, really, what are we doing on this spiritual path? His response was, we're learning to live the life fully. Live the life fully. And another way to say that is really live from the fullness of what we are, to realize really what we are, to realize the boundless awareness and the depth of heart that is our nature, and live from that, to live this day from that awareness. So when we explore this paramita, this perfection of gratitude, in a way we're exploring one of the essential elements that allows us to live from fullness. And it's this capacity to appreciate, to love this life. And I think of it sometimes in terms of breathing in and breathing out, that we have to be able to breathe in, to breathe out. We have to breathe in to live. So gratitude is this capacity to genuinely be able to take in this breath and in this moment, the life that's here, the prana, the love, the aliveness, to be able to take it in, to have it really nourish our cells and our soul, to take it in. We need to be able to be touched. And we need that in order to be able to breathe out, to let go, to touch others, to give. And we know that if we're feeling unnourished, if we're feeling that our needs are not met, that we are not loved, that we are not taken care of, we can't breathe out so fully. There's some kind of holding back. And that's really suffering, to hold back our love, to hold back our creativity is suffering. So gratitude, it has everything to do with happiness. It really does. It's we know it intuitively. I mean, if you reflect right now on any moment recently where you really felt grateful? Where there was that sense of fullness and appreciation. There's a sweetness. It's as sweet as can be. And there's the bliss of not wanting something else, which is really bliss, that sense of enough, that contentedness that really lets us arrive here. You know, even in the scientific literature now, they're being able to take any emotional state and correlate it with what's going on in our brain, and gratitude, as you know, many others, the right prefrontal cortex lights up. And of course there's this the message to send off endorphins, and we start feeling good. We value it. We all do. And yet it's really interesting when we look honestly, when we really kind of look at our life, how often do we feel a visceral, alive sense of gratitude? How often? Usually when we're grateful, it's a little more mental. It's that sense of, oh, wasn't it nice that so-and-so, or we might look at something beautiful, say, oh, how isn't that lovely? But we don't stop enough to breathe it in. Do you know what I mean? Like to really take it in. Or it might be the kind of gratitude that's a sense of relief, like, phew, I'm glad that didn't happen. You know, I'm glad I got there and there wasn't traffic on the beltway, or glad that person didn't charge for overtime. Or, and actually, in the literature on gratitude, one pathway to gratitude is by remembering what bad things haven't happened yet. And it's really, it actually, that affects our brain. Like, there is that sense of relief that has actually it's the left prefrontal cortex, but it soothes us. So there is some reason to reflect like that. I'll give you an example. There's a something written up in this little newspaper saying, signs you're getting too old to drive. It takes more than 4 minutes to get out of your car. When backing up into a parking spot, you just back up until you hear something. It scares you to drive the speed limit. The only thing you pass on the road anymore is the Amish. Your bumper sticker endorses Eisenhower. And I like this one. Your turn signal has been on since 2003. So we go, phew, okay, well, at least I can still drive. Or we might say, phew, at least I can see. Or at least I still am healthy enough to work for a living. Or we might have that kind of a relief that actually isn't the kind of full-blown heart's gratitude, but there is a sense of temporary ease. The truth is, though, it's not that many moments for most of us that the gratitude is that aliveness in the heart where we're really feeling a sense of love for our life, love for what's right here. So what stops us? What stops us from feeling gratitude more often? And the basic difficulty is that in order to appreciate, you have to be here. You know, remember that psychologist who had went to Las Vegas and came back with a sign and put it up in his office and it said, you must be present to win? Remember that one? Well, it's like that. It's like in order to appreciate what's here, we have to really arrive. And yet most of the time we're preoccupied. We can't receive because we're already occupied. You know, we're occupied with thoughts about what's missing or what needs to happen, what we need to complete, what can go wrong. Many moments there's a sense of a complaint. It's the opposite of gratitude. We have a complaint about how it is, and we carry that. We carry kind of a grudge. So that rather than opening to receive because we're thinking something's missing or wrong, there's a kind of a tightness, like we don't want to let, we're resisting what's in this world because it's threatening to us or it's not really going to feed us, and we're too busy trying to go after something else. Now is not what's going to nourish the spirit. I need something else. We're on our way. And I talk about this a lot on these Wednesday nights, mostly because I watch it in myself all the time. I watch how these broad swaths of my life are somehow or other framed by I'm on my way to something else. And in any moment that there's any sense that we have this kind of mental map that this is Wednesday night, but we're on our way to Thanksgiving, or we're actually trying to get through Thanksgiving so we can get to the weekend, you know, past. Any moment that we're on our way somewhere else is a moment that we're not able to really breathe in and receive what's here. Any moment that we have a sense that how it is not the way it should be. It shouldn't be like this, you know. And the truth is, the world doesn't cooperate with our ideas of how it should be. So we spend a lot of moments trying to make things different. There's a sign in an airline ticket office in Copenhagen. It says, "We take your bags and send them in all directions." That's scary. But how many of you are still going to be traveling? Anybody left doing some traveling? Yeah, we're going up to New Jersey tomorrow. It's scary, you know. You get tensed against it. It's hard to imagine the moments of traveling being moments where you're breathing in and arriving and appreciating, because we have it in our mind that we're trying to get through an obstacle somewhere else, right? Similarly, when we're with people, how many moments are we just breathing in and appreciating the goodness or the beauty or the light that's shining through another person's eyes? So much of the time, our mode is trying to in some way control the other so that we can feel good. Either control what they think of us or control how they're acting. This is one of my favorite stories of the season. An old man in Phoenix calls his son in New York and says, "I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough." "Pop, what are you talking about?" the son screams. And the response, "We can't stand each other. We can't stand the sight of each other any longer. We're sick and tired of each other, and I'm sick of talking about this. So you and your sister, you go tell your sister in Chicago, call her," and then he hangs up. Frantic, the son calls his sister, who explodes on the phone. "Like heck they're getting a divorce," she shouts. "I'll take care of this." She calls Phoenix immediately and screams at the old man, "You are not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me?" Then she hangs up. The old man hangs up his phone and turns to his wife. "Okay," he says, "they're coming for Thanksgiving and..." "They're coming for Thanksgiving and paying their own way." So controlling others. We all do it to some degree. We have a way we want things to be. The reality is, in the moments of controlling, if we have any agenda, we're not in that open-hearted presence that appreciates who's here. I remember Richard Gere was, I think it was Oprah. He's in an interview with Oprah. And she said, "Who is it in the world that you're most comfortable with?" And his response was the Dalai Lama. And he said, "Because when I'm with him, I know he doesn't want anything from me at all except my own happiness." Open-hearted presence. So what are the pathways to that kind of presence that really lets us breathe in, be home right here and breathe in and feel our life, and then be able to breathe out and give ourselves? So begin with the practice that we do here together, which is this practice of homecoming we call mindfulness. And there's such a beauty and simplicity when we think of it, that in the moments that instead of judging what's going on, instead of being lost in thought, we simply recognize what's happening here and allow it. Just allow it. in those moments, it's a homecoming. That's the simplicity of it. It's one of the hardest things in the world because all of our conditioning is to try to manage the moment. All of our conditioning. To go after what's pleasant, to defend against what's unpleasant. So to simply breathe in and let what's here be here, and breathe out and let go, it's against our conditioning. So we train in mindfulness. I love the entry of listening. In my own practice, listening is one of the most powerful entrees to mindfulness because in listening, there's this sense of receptivity and openness that really is our nature. It's our true nature. You might just listen again for a few moments. Just close your eyes. Mindfulness steps out of any ideas of how life should be and simply receives what's here without any resistance. It doesn't matter if the weather is painful or pleasant, if it's rain that we're listening to, or the sounds of the wind. Like the sky that doesn't get stained by the weather, mindfulness is that fullness of heart and mind that simply notices and allows. If you'd like, you can open your eyes. I'll just say a little more about mindfulness. We're going to talk about two major pathways to this open-hearted presence, this appreciation, okay? So one is this listening attention, this full presence with just what's here. And one description of a man that was doing a retreat some years ago, and he had a real roller coaster of an experience where emotionally he was just so up and down. There were some days that he was just gripped by fear, and when he'd open to it, it would become terror. You know, it wasn't like he opened to it and it just went by. It just got worse. And then he'd go into some sadness and open to it and it would become enormous grieving. And then he had some peace and he had some happiness and then more. You know, he just was up and down. And during his last interview, he said, "I finally come to understand. The joy is in getting real." It doesn't matter whether it's raining or sunshine. The joy is in that capacity to be present with what's here, to meet this changing experience with a kind and receptive attention. Getting real with what's here. It's like Carl Jung describes how sometimes we have the idea in spiritual life like we're climbing this ladder to perfection. You know, we're trying to have certain kinds of experience. You know, just peaceful, you know, just changing rainbows of, you know, light, and that's my experience. You know, we're trying to have this kind of perfection. And he says it's the difference between that and instead turning around and embracing this world with all its messiness and confusion and sadness and mystery and beauty. So it's the difference between a path to perfection and a path to wholeness. That is what this open-hearted presence is. It embraces what's here without any condition. So the power of mindfulness is that in the moments that we just listen to our lives without interfering, just right now, without any resistance, just opening to how it is, we reconnect with our natural openness, wakefulness, with the luminosity of what we are. We come back home. And in that, we can then appreciate the waves, the different currents of this life in a profound way. in a profound way. One of the metaphors I find helpful is that really we're opening to let this life live through us, and it's all these currents, like a river of experience flowing through us. And when we resist, when we're at war with how it is, it's like we become one of those currents but pull it off into a little pool, like by the side of the river, a stagnant little pool, and there's not that much that flows in, and there's not that much that can get out. We're not breathing in receptively. We're not letting go. We're kind of fighting and managing life. We've left the main currents of the river. But as we practice mindfulness and heartfulness, and I use those words interchangeably, this open-hearted presence, we reconnect with that awareness, that spaciousness, and let this river of life just move through us. So again, just to invite you to check in, I just like to keep on anchoring this in the moment. Just to close your eyes. And sense what it means to be fully here. An open-hearted presence that listens to the moment. Receptive. And the currents that live through you might be, there might be physical discomfort or sleepiness or restlessness or happiness or ease. Can you just let whatever currents are arising live through you? Move through this open awareness. For some, you can deepen this open-hearted presence by just sensing that your heart is smiling. And that smile is really that space that allows this life just as it is, with tenderness. The deepest expression of love is giving our attention. To give our attention to these moments is a living way of expressing our hearts. So that's part one. That we cultivate the grounds of open-heartedness by really offering our presence. This is the training we do here week after week. Part two, which is also part of the training, is the challenge, just to name it, is with open-hearted presence, is that we have a deep conditioning and deep habits to scan for what's wrong. To fixate on what's wrong, to move through our day. We might be able to come here and quiet down and open to the river that's flowing through us, but what's it like during the day when we're trying to get something done at work or when our child doesn't cooperate or when we're in traffic? You know how one of my friends, Ajahn Amaro, puts it, we all think traffic is them, other people. It's like we're traffic too, but we go in through this world with this filter of there's us against the world. Deep conditioning. Not to just be present, but to be at odds. So there's a second kind of domain of practice I want to mention tonight, which is to intentionally direct our attention to what we might be forgetting. To be in trance, and I talk a lot about trance, is to be in a reality that's narrowed, where we're just fixating on what might be wrong with you or wrong with me or missing or whatever. So in gratitude practices, we remember what we're forgetting intentionally. And it directly deconditions the brain. You can just sense the power of what you pay attention to. With mindfulness, it's how we're paying attention. But we can also train ourselves as to what we pay attention to. Now, you might consider this for a moment. Just in your mind, close your eyes and just let the word trouble echo through your brain. Trouble. And hear the tone of voice that matches trouble. Trouble. And just keep repeating the word and just sensing what it's like to have that word in your brain. Trouble. And then take a nice full breath. And now the word kindness. Just let the word kindness be repeated over and over, and again match with the kind of tone, kindness, kindness. And just sense the quality of heart and body and mind when kindness is the word that you're paying attention to. Okay, again, take a full breath and opening your eyes. Now, we all have different associations for words, so it might be that for some people your associations led to a particular state, but in general, you can each get a sense of this. If you are spending a lot of your time thinking about blaming somebody and what's wrong with somebody, you're going to have a certain kind of armoredness in your heart, right? And if you spend a lot of time looking at someone and sensing their goodness, there's going to be a quality of softness in your heart. It doesn't mean that we look through rose-colored lenses. This is not to say we're going to whitewash everything and just be Pollyannas. It's more that we have such a habit of filtering for the what's wrong that we begin to wake up out of the trance when we intentionally commit ourselves. I want to remember the beauty and the goodness too. I want to remember what I love, what I often don't include. So the training that we do here, the loving kindness practice, is directly a training in bringing someone to mind, and we often bring to mind someone that's a dear person, someone who might be more neutral in our life, and then someone who's more difficult. And taking the time to look beyond the veil and see the beauty, see the goodness, see what Thomas Merton calls the secret beauty, the invisible divine that shines through every life form. We take the time to train ourselves, so we include that. So in training ourselves for this, in these compassion and in these gratitude practices, it gets even broader than just with certain people in our lives. The gratitude practice that we train ourselves to do is to actually take the time to remember and reflect, what is it I love? What am I grateful for? For the creativity in this world, the beauty, the goodness in the beings in my life. In other words, we count our blessings. Very, very powerful. In fact, I'd say it's one of the sweetest meditations. And the reason is because it brings us back home to the experience of our being that is most true, to that fullness of heart that really is who we are. So we'll be doing that practice. We'll end the class that way, but I just want to speak a little bit more. There's another practice that's related, that is that in moments when we do feel a sense of appreciation, you might have listened to the sound and went, wow, it's really kind of nice that it's raining tonight. How many of you started enjoying the sounds of the rain? Yeah, a lot of us. So it might be that there's a sound of the rain, or that you see the night sky, or some music comes through that just in some way just moves your heart. Or it might be just the look in the eye of a child. Any moment that you can be on the alert to notice moments when there's appreciation, and then pause. It's like bowing. Bowing is when you bring all your consciousness and awareness to what it is you cherish. You can bow to it. Kurt Vonnegut says, when things are going sweetly and peacefully, please pause for a moment and then say out loud, if this isn't nice, what is? But that's the idea, to get familiar with the moments when you're appreciating. So we begin to have more of a habit of appreciating. Annie Dillard writes, every day is a God, each day is a God, and holiness holds forth in time. I worship each God. I praise each day splintered down and wrapped in time like a husk of many colors, spreading at dawn fast over the mountain split. Every day is a God. Each day is a God. And holiness holds forth in time. So in these practices of gratitude, because our habit is not to pause and arrive and appreciate, the training is to do just that. To pause and appreciate what's already here and beautiful, and to remember what it is in the wholeness of our lives that we love. The benefit is that it brings us home to wholeness. It doesn't blot out what's difficult, but it brings us home to a fullness of being. It's like Blake put it, he said, gratitude is heaven itself, because we feel really that sense of our own true nature. There's certain flavors of it I want to mention, and one is that when we're grateful, there's a sense of abundance. There's a sense of enough where we're finally able to step off that kind of endless, ceaseless merry-go-round of being on our way and just go, just be here because it's so full and abundant. And there's a beautiful description of this abundance, Alice Luderman. She says, consider the generosity of the one-year-old who has no words to exchange with you, yet instead offers up her favorite drooled-on blanket, her green rhinoceros as big as she is, her battered cardboard books swung open on their soggy pages. If you were outside, outdoors, she would hand you a dead beetle, a fistful of grass, a pebble, by way of introduction or just because. And if, a moment later, she wanted it back, it would be for the joy of the game that makes of every simple object an offering. In the same way, sun drapes a buttered scarf across your face, rose opens herself to your glance, and rain shares its divine melancholy. The whole world keeps whispering or shouting to you, nibbling your ear like a neglected lover. So there's this quality of homecoming to this, being able to really breathe in and receive the light of the sun and the warmth of the love that's in this world. And when we breathe in, we're able to breathe out and give. And that's where generosity really comes alive. As I mentioned, it's many of us have this secret or deep down, or maybe not so deep down, feeling like, well, I'm not a generous person. I'm selfish. I mean, I might do things that look like they're generous, but there's always an agenda. There's always a motive. I'm either trying to feel good about myself or have somebody feel good about me. Not too many moments of pure generosity. I know. I've done workshops where we've done these different explorations and sharing moments of generosity. We usually second guess them. And what stops us from feeling totally that breathing out without holding on? You see, this breathing deconditions the two basic forms of suffering. When we breathe in without resistance, we're just opening to receive. When we breathe out, we're letting go. There's no clinging. What stops us from letting go? This feeling of not enough. I'm not enough. I'm not getting enough. I never got enough. I need more. It's very hard to feel generous when there's a sense of being deprived. So the beauty of being able to really breathe in this moment, come home and feel the fullness of this moment, feel nourished, feel the fullness of our awareness here, is that then we can breathe out and there's no way that we're holding back our love. We're just not holding it back. So there's a sense of fullness. And I remember this cartoon I love that shows the joy of not needing. And some of you remember the Sylvia cartoons. In one of them, Sylvia was typing this list of responses you hope to have the occasion to say. You know, this is her list. I'll just read you one response. Yes, it is unusual to have won an Olympic medal and the Nobel Peace Prize. And could you bring me leather pants in size 2? But the best of her responses was, no thanks, I have everything I need. So what about that? What about that? Some of you remember that Zen nun, her name was Ono, and her mantra was, thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. When my son Narayan was younger, we used to call him King of Kvetching. You know, he was just always complaining. And I remember teaching him that one. Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. He didn't say much, but I remember a few weeks after I taught it to him, I was in traffic on the way to the dentist's office, and I was really cursing and angry and upset and so on. And all of a sudden, he kind of nudged me. He says, Mom, thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. I'm still working on forgiving him for that one. So, as I mentioned in the Buddhist teachings, this capacity to feel this fullness and to give is one of the great gifts. There's a Naomi Nye poem I wanted to share with you tonight that really touched me. I just read recently. She says, the Arabs used to say, when a stranger appears at your door, feed him for 3 days before asking who he is, before asking where he's come from, where he's headed. That way, he'll have strength enough to answer. Or, by then, you'll be such good friends, you don't care. Let's go back to that. This is the spirit of generosity, where there's a natural giving that comes from a sense of inner fullness, from a sense of openness. And our training ground right here, there's the only training ground in this whole universe right here. Can we pause? And let's just sense right now pausing. And can we breathe in, both literally and metaphorically, and appreciate here-ness, just being right here. Appreciate the life that's right here. Mindful, heartful, present. And the pathway home right here really connects us with an awareness that's boundless and a love that suffuses everything. There's nothing else we need. Our suffering is we think we need something else. Everything we need is here. This awareness, this wakefulness. It's called this diamond-like nature of our awareness because there's a natural luminosity when we're awake. We don't need the gem. We need just to come home to what's here. This wakefulness, this tenderness, this presence. Everything we long for is right here. This is the source of our gratitude, and this is what gives us the capacity to then share our love with others. So we practice by coming here, and we practice also when we're caught or forgetting, or when we want to just deepen our sense of cherishing, to directly reflect, what is it I love? What am I grateful for? So I'd like to close tonight with a meditation, but I'd like to do it in a way that I think is very powerful, which is to do it as a meditation with another person. And to ask you, if you will, and I'm going to ask you to stay on silence as we set ourselves up for this. If you really don't want to you're going to be speaking and have someone else bear witness. And it's very beautiful to sense someone else holding a space in a very sacred way for you to honor. And you'll be just speaking what you're grateful for. And then we'll switch and have the other person do it. So if you could, on silence, turn to somebody. Just turn your chairs around so you're kind of knee to knee. Stay silent, though. And if you find that everybody's turned around and you're not near somebody, stand up and we'll match you up. But stay on silence, if you will. And if you need a partner, just stand up and raise your hand so you can find each other. If you will, please, it helps to stand up so you can locate a partner. Okay, and just start turning around. You'll see people nearby. If you really can't find anybody nearby, just sit down with a pair. But it's easiest if we're in pairs. Who needs a partner? Please raise your hand and I'm going to help you find them. Who else needs a partner? You two right here? Right here and here? You see? Yeah. Anyone else need a partner? Great. That was easier than often is the case. Okay. Just to maybe pointing fingers, decide who's going to be the first to speak. This is very collaborative. Good, you've already decided that. We can't spend much time on that. Now, just take a moment to close your eyes. And here's what you'll be doing, and I'll explain it with your eyes closed. Take these moments to come home right to your heart. You who are speaking, you'll be saying, I am grateful. And then you'll just fill in the blank. And then pause, and then do it again. I am grateful. And you might say, I'm grateful just right now to listen to the rain. Or right now in my life, I'm grateful. And you might name a person and say why. Or I am grateful to have my health. Or I'm grateful to be learning to meditate. Or whatever it is. But you're basically saying, right now in my life, I'm grateful. And then fill in the blank. And then pause a moment and then say whatever else comes to mind. Over and over, right now in my life, I'm grateful. I'll let you know when to stop. So right now, only one person is speaking. You're just going to say it. Your partner, you who are silent, your opportunity here, your gift is to offer a silent presence where, without any judgment, with just a space of compassion, you just hold and bear witness to your partner's expression of gratitude. Okay? So I'll let you know when to switch. Your eyes are open as you're saying this. And you who are speaking, just simply right now or in my life, I am grateful. And then just to say what for. Okay, now let me just say, if there's any questions, raise your hand. Because if somebody has a question, it means other people will too. So Let me just check. Anybody have a question about this? Yeah. If there's three of you, I'll give a period after I have you stop for the third person to go, and everybody else will be in silence. How many threes are there? Are there other threes around? You know, I'm wondering. Well, all right, we'll leave it. It's too complicated to try to mix and mesh right now. Okay, well, it'll work out. So just take a few full breaths. Feel your heart, you who are going to speak, and then begin with the words, "In my life, I'm grateful," and then just go on. Please begin. Okay, finishing what you're saying. And then just closing your eyes again. So you get this practice of pausing. It's very powerful to be with another in a certain way and then just pause and come into quietness. And just sense where you are, sense what's true. In a few moments, the person who is listening will be speaking. In my life, right now, I'm grateful. And you who are speaking get to hold that space of presence for your partner. Okay, please begin. Finishing up what you're saying. And again, just closing your eyes. And just sense for a moment as you sit the energy behind the words, "I'm grateful." What does it actually feel like in your heart? Sense what you're most grateful for in this moment. And then in a wordless way, feel how that lives through you. Just the last few moments we'll be spending, if you're in a pair, to just talk with your partner a little bit about what it was like to do this meditation with someone else. And if you're in a threesome, for the third person to please share what you're grateful for, and the other two listen. Okay? Please begin. finishing up what you're saying, please. Okay, let's come around, turning the chairs around, and we'll just take the last few moments. Just thanking your partner and turning around. So coming in a way, just sitting in a way where you can again feel a quality of quietness and stillness. A listening attention. Without any judgment, just noticing the experience. The aliveness, the currents of life moving through you. Do not let this day slip through your fingers, but live it fully now. Living fully, loving fully. Present with this breath, with the sounds. Time is precious, minutes disappearing like water into sand, unless you choose to pay attention. Since you do not know the number of your days, treat each as if it is your last. Be that compassionate with yourself, that open and loving to others, that determined to give what is yours to give, and to let in the energy and wonder, the beauty and mystery of this living world. Experience everything, writing, relating, eating, doing all the necessary little tasks of life as if for the first time, pushing nothing aside as unimportant. You have received these reminders many times before. This time, take them into your soul. For if you choose to live this way, you will be rich beyond measure, grateful beyond words, and the day of your death will arrive with no regrets. Live this day. Live these moments. Awake. Open-hearted. Here. Thanksgiving blessings and namaste to each. Thank you.
The teaching you have received has been freely offered. If you would like to contact the Insight Meditation Community of Washington to make a donation or to learn more about our programs, please visit our website at www.imcw.org.